Hello, this is the Halfway to Infinity podcast, a collection of short stories written and recorded by me, Michael Rees. In today's story, we discover that it's not only us mortals who make serious and certainly consequential mistakes. This is The Second Coming. When the humans first began to realize that God was full of it, he was, understandably, rather concerned. It was his own fault, of course. He had started strong enough, stalking the pages of the Old Testament like a vicious school prefect at lunchtime, laying down the law and showing little mercy to those that would dare go against him. But in time, it became apparent that it was all mostly bravado and hyperbole. Breaking the rules in real life didn't seem to bring on any of the consequences bestowed upon any number of rule breakers in the book. Picking up a couple of sticks on a Sunday at one time would have got you stoned to death, but now even adultery gets you little more than a nasty rash. It seemed that God had lost interest in enforcing his rather arbitrary and unnecessarily complex set of rules and standards and, well, people were starting to notice. The Bible was beginning to look more like a bad Dan Brown parody written by AI over a drunken weekend. As a result, the once deeply terrifying predictions of great trials and calamities set to occur before the Second Coming were viewed as little more than a bad trailer for an even worse action movie that nobody wanted to see. Even God himself had to admit that he had seriously underestimated the time and costs involved. So, God decided to scale back on the overly ambitious plans for the Second Coming and go with the tried and trusted, and certainly cheaper, virgin birth approach. It worked well enough the first time around, so why not? The search, therefore, commenced for a suitable virgin. Eventually, 21-year-old Samantha Rumbolt of 37 Greenacre Road, Wrecklesham, in the county of Surrey, in the United Kingdom, was chosen, and the angel Hamaliel was tasked with organizing the whole thing, in particular the rather delicate matter of impregnation. Which is why he found himself, on a freezing January night, standing at 3 a.m. in light flurries of snow outside a nondescript house, in a terrace of other nondescript houses, each differing in only the color of the front door. He looked around and checked that the street was empty before he unfolded his wings and ascended to a window on the upper floor. It was dark inside, but he could sense the presence of a young woman. He slipped incorporeal through the window and silently into the room. This was the culmination of months of work. Through dreams and subtle signs, his team of angels had been preparing Samantha for this moment. He knew he was expected. He took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and began the final, brief, and most important incantation. The girl mumbled something in her sleep and turned over, instinctively rubbing her stomach as the incantation gently placed the divinely prepared embryo into the soft lining of her womb. The angel took a moment to savor the occasion. Mankind's last chance at salvation nestled deep in the precious body of one of the few actually nice humans remaining. Or so he thought. Her scream took him completely by surprise. "What the fuck?" she shouted as she sat up, clutching the duvet around her. "Peace be upon you," he began to say, but only got halfway through before he was hit in the face by what just a second earlier had been a bedside lamp.
"Who the fuck are you?"
the girl screamed. "Do not be afraid," said the angel, mildly concussed and almost forgetting his lines. The girl scrambled to pick up her phone that was charging on the bedside table.
"I'm calling the police," she said.
Ignoring the pain, the angel spread his wings and gently rose into the air, giving off a soft, golden light that filled the room. The girl dropped the phone on the duvet and sat open-mouthed at the sight of the majestic creature that hovered in the air in front of her, his wings iridescent and his robes gently flowing in the invisible winds of the spirit world. "What the fuck am I on?" the girl mumbled to herself. "Samantha," the angel intoned in a voice so gentle it was like satin on the ears. "I am Hamaliel. You have been told of my coming. It is time."
"You are? What time? What are you on about? And who the fuck's Samantha?"
"The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And, what did you just say?"
"You called me Samantha."
"Yes, Samantha Rumbold. No, mate, my name's Emma." As he floated, the angel reached into a pocket and pulled out a folded piece of paper. He opened it and read, 37 Greenacre Road.
"Now, this is 38. 37's on the other side of the road, mate. You've got the wrong house."
The angel stared at the girl, and with dawning realization, folded his wings and slumped down onto the end of the bed. His golden sheen turned to a sickly shade of orange.
"Oh, bollocks," he said.
He sat with his head in his hands.
"Sorry about your face," Emma said.
She reached out and gently put a hand on the arch of his wing. It was soft and warm.
"You're a real angel, aren't you?"
The angel sighed. Ex-angel, more like. Gonna get fired for this, probably worse.
"So, who's this Samantha, then?"
"Oh, she's, Hamaliel turned to the girl. He thought for a moment, a faint glimmer of hope in his eyes.
"You're not a virgin by any chance, are you?" he asked.
"No, mate, sorry, that ship's long sailed." The angel let out another sigh.
"Ah, just a thought.
Well, you know how Mary was the mother of Christ?"
"Yeah, at Christmas, right, with the donkeys and stuff.
Samantha, you see, she's supposed to be the Holy Mother for the Second Coming. Another virgin birth to try and get membership numbers up before the Last Judgment."
"Yeah, but she's only just across the road. Go on. It's just a little mistake. I won't tell anyone, promise."
"It's too late. I've already done the incantation."
"The what?"
"The incantation, the spell that places the egg, the embryo, inside. I only know how to put it in. I don't know how to take it out."
"You what? You mean it's in me?"
"Yes, you're pregnant."
"Oh, fuck, not again."
She threw off the duvet and stood.
"Right, you're coming with me."
She grabbed Hamaliel by the wrist and pulled him off the bed. In her pajamas, she dragged him down the stairs and out through the front door into the cold street, where she pushed him across the pavement to a small yellow Mini parked in the road.
"Get in," she said.
He folded his wings as tight as he could and clambered into the tiny front seat. It was deeply uncomfortable.
"Where are we going?"
he asked, as Emma got in next to him.
"We're going to sort this out," she said, as she put the tiny car into gear.
Hamaliel looked out of the window and saw number 37. An upstairs light was on, and he could see the silhouette of a young woman, her hands against a glass looking out at the street below.
"Sorry,"
he mouthed as the tiny car accelerated off, leaving behind a flurry of loose snow. They drove quickly through the empty streets of the town. Emma kept her eyes on the road, her body tense and angry.
"This is rape, you know," she hissed.
"Well," said the angel, "technically not." She slammed on the brakes, and the angel, not wearing his seatbelt, also slammed his already bruised face into the plastic dash. Emma turned to him.
"Are we really going to argue this? 'Cause I could just as easily turn around and take you to the police station."
"No, sorry," said Hamaliel, realizing that he was actually afraid of this strange mortal.
"Good," she said, hitting the accelerator as hard as she'd hit the brakes.
A few minutes later, they pulled up in front of the 24-hour pharmacy. It sat like a bright lighthouse surrounded by dark, shuttered neighbors. Emma quickly stepped out of the car and marched towards the light.
"Come on, angel boy," she called out without looking back.
She pushed her way through the doors and stormed through the shop, grabbing a small bottle of water as she passed.
"I need one of them pills," she said to the lone shop assistant behind the counter. The assistant watched the angel as he trotted up breathlessly behind the girl. Fancy dress party, was it? She asked. Pill, said Emma. The assistant turned and took a small box from the shelf behind her and placed it on the counter. That and the water will be £15.35. He's paying, said Emma, jerking her thumb at the angel.
I don't have any money.
Oh, for fuck's sake! The assistant pushed the box across the counter. It's all right, she said. You take it. Looks like you need this way more than you need him. Emma picked up the box, ripped off the end, and took out the plastic blister pack with its single pill. Staring at the angel, she opened up the bottle of water, then popped the pill into her mouth.
What is that? Asked the angel.
You men are all fucking hopeless, she said, and swallowed the pill with a swig of the water. Right, she slammed the bottle onto the counter. I'm going back to bed, and you, Emma poked the angel with her finger, can fuck off. She stormed out of the shop as quickly as she came in.
What just happened? The angel asked.
The assistant just glared at him before she reached under the counter and pulled out a small box of condoms. She slid them along the counter to him. You can have those, she said. Take them home and practice. She turned and disappeared into the rear office. Back at 38 Greenacre Road, Emma picked up the bedside lamp and returned it to its place. She snuggled under the warm duvet, closed her eyes, and fell gently asleep as the chemicals began their work to doom mankind forever. Halfway to infinity.